We told about the last two application protocols or group of protocols. And these are also the first two questions in the summary. First one is why and how is time synchronized on hosts on the network? The important thing is that the time synchronization is not needed for the network function itself. So even if your computer has wrong date and time, it can cooperate in the network. And the good time is needed only for from user's point of view. So the two basic reasons for having good time are first, date and time of last modification of files. If you share data, if you share files, then it's very important that you have equal time on both computers, on your computer and on the computer where the file is then stored. Because if you don't have the same time, then the file that has been recently stored may be considered as a file with total different time on the server. So it will be problematic to do some backups and do compiling of modules and so on. So this is one important reason from the user's point of view. And the second very important reason is for network administrators, because if you are monitoring some log files and then you have to compare two events that happened on two different computers, it's very, very important to have the same time on both systems. Because if you have a log file and in one log file the time is totally different, then you must still each time with each line you must recalculate the time, and it's very, very annoying. And the reason is, and the second part of the question is how the time is synchronized. So there is a protocol NTP, and the idea is that there are some absolutely accurate clock source which is on some few places in the world in the network, and this is so-called stratum zero, and there are server that takes the time from this source of stratum zero, and this server is so-called stratum one, and the other servers in the world that communicate with this these servers with stratum one are stratum two and so on. So each server in the world is trying to get some information from servers with stratum lower than the stratum of this particular server, and then the server sends requests to these servers, and using the answers do some relatively complicated calculation, because there are some delay between sending and receiving the response, so you have not a proper, absolutely accurate time. And a special Marzullo's algorithm is used for calculation of the most probable time that should be set on your computer. And the typical situation at the ISP, the internet service provider, is that the service provider has a few servers with stratum, let's say two, three. And when you connect to this ISP, then it's a good idea to make your own server in your network. So it will be server with stratum three or four, and to synchronize all computers in your network with these this or these servers in your network. So this is the basic idea of NTP. And then we talked about another technical protocol, which is DHCP, the protocol that is used for getting IP address and other information necessary for communication in network when a new client is connecting to the network. And we told that the DHCP, the acronym stands from Dynamic Host Configuration Protocol. So the important thing is that the leasing of the address is only temporary, is dynamic. So the client that gets the response must use this address only for the specified lease time. And after expiring this lease time, he must ask again for new new confirmation of the address or getting a new address if situation changes in the network. And we told about the whole procedure that the client sends a broadcast and gets several responses from several DHCP servers, and then the client chooses the best offer. Typically, if there is an offer with the same address it currently uses or it used recently, then this address will be chosen. And if not, then the address with the maximum lease time typically is chosen. And then the client sends back DHCP requests to all the servers so that all the servers can either accept or remove the blocked address that they offered to the client. And the only server whose response was accepted will register this address as a leased address for this particular client for the lease time. And then the client can use this address, and in the middle of the lease time, the client should ask for confirmation, but it can, even if it doesn't get the answer, it can use it for the rest of the lease time. But if it gets a new confirmation of the address, then new lease time period starts for the client. And DHCP is used on most of systems, most of networks currently. So if you come to McDonald's with your mobile phone, that mobile phone will connect via DHCP to the network. The next question was about the presentation and session layer. And we told that these two layers are in fact not presented in TCP, and that the information about how the data coming to station should be interpreted in the protocol is directly in the application protocol. So the application protocol tells what kind of end of lines should be in text line, what kind of integer in representation should be used. And typically it's big endian in TCP. So the presentation and session layer is not used in TCP. And then we moved from application layer to the transport layer, and we told about the two basic protocols on the transport layer, TCP and UDP. We told that the UDP is a very simple protocol There is no overhead. It's only for multiplexing using ports, and the UDP is unreliable. So it cannot guarantee whether the data was delivered. So you only get the response, yes, it was sent. Not it was delivered, it was sent. And the application must take control and guarantee either that all data was transported, or the application must be able to ignore missing data. If there is not so much lost packets, many applications can live without it. This is UDP, and TCP, on the other hand, is reliable. It's used for connection-oriented applications, and it has a big overhead because it guarantees that if you call a function, set this piece of data to my partner, then you get a response from the function call. Either okay, it was delivered, not sent but delivered, or you get a response, no, the delivery failed. But unfortunately, the negative response will come after all the timeouts expire. So it's for the application is much more complicated and less flexible to react to some conditions on the networks. So, and how the TCP works. So every packet, TCP can segment the data to smaller pieces, to so-called segments, and all each segment is sent separately on the network, and each segment could be acknowledged by the partner. But we told that so that the network will be used more efficiently, then the sender is allowed not to wait for each acknowledgement from the other side, and can send as many data as fit into so-called TCP window. So the partners make a deal how large piece of data could be sent without checking, without waiting for acknowledge, and the sender can send as many data as fit into this window, and when new acknowledgement comes from the other side, then the sender can move the window, and so they have new data that could be sent and wait for the acknowledgement. So, and the size of the window in fact tells how fast can be the sender, and the client and sender can using the parameter TCP window in TCP header can modify the speed. So if the conditions in the network are good, then the window could be big. And if there are some problems, or the recipient has a problem with processing the data, it can decrease the size. And we also showed the three-way handshake and the end of the communication, so sending FIN packets. So the TCP connection is initiated by a special set of three packets sent at the beginning of each TCP connection. You can recognize these packets because they have flag, TCP flag SYN, and the reason or the meaning of the flag is that the sender is now sending a new sequence number. The acknowledgments of received data are based on, and in fact, based on offset in the stream. And the offset is sent both when sending the data than when sending the acknowledgement of the data. There are two fields, sequence number and acknowledgement number, and the sequence number is for the sender's offset, and the acknowledgement is for the recipient when acknowledging data. But the numbers are not started with zero at the beginning of the connection for security reason. It's started by random number. So the both the client and the server must agree and must announce the initial sequence number. So this is the reason of the SYN packet. So with the SYN packet, they are announcing the sequence number, the initial sequence number that will be used in their packets. So this is the three-way handshake. The first packet is SYN packet from client to server. The second packet is SYN packet from server to client. And also acknowledging the first packet from the client. And the third packet is just acknowledging acknowledgement from the original sender to the server that everything completed. And then from this moment, the data can be transmitted. These three packets have no data. They are only TCP headers. And if the server doesn't want to accept the connection, then simply as a reaction to the first packet, it sends, instead of SYN packet, it sends a packet with reset flag, which means I will not accept your connection. And the three-way handshake, this is the beginning of the connection. And the end of the connection is simply by sending a packet having a SYN flag. When one side of the connection sends a packet with SYN flag, it tells the other side, from this moment, I have no more data to send you. So I will not send more data, but not packets. Of course, because if the partner is still willing to send data to us, we still have to send the acknowledgement packets. Well, maybe I should mention also the way how the acknowledgement is sent. Typically, the implementation is that there is some small period of time when the station wants to send the acknowledgement to the opposite side, then it waits for some time. And if there is no more data that this station needs to send to the other side, then it sends purely the acknowledgement packet. So there is a packet without data, just carrying the acknowledgement information. If some data occurs before firing this period, then the data packet is sent and the acknowledgement is only added to the header, TCP header of this data packet. So this is the finishing the connection, one way finishing, or one side finishing, closing of the connection. The connection is from this moment semi-open or waiting for the SYN from the other side, but it can live in this situation, in this status for some time. And when also the other side wants to quit the connection, it sends the SYN packet and the connection is closed. But we told that it's not very strategic to use this semi-open connection because it could lead to breaking the service on some router. Some router can register, then the connection is too long in the status that it was from one side closed and not from the other, and can break the connection. So it's better to wait with your fin until you have all data and then send the fin packet. So this was information about the transport layer. And now we move one layer lower to the network layer. And we told about the addressing to two basic, there are two basic topics in the network layer. One is addressing and one is routing, forwarding. About addresses, we told already at the beginning of the semester. So we know that we have now currently IP version 4, which the address has 4 bytes, and IP version 6, where the length is 16 bytes. And we told here in this last lesson about the reason, about the history of the IP version 4, that originally there were much smaller sizes, shorter addresses, and they were very rigid in separating to the network part and computer part. And the last step was making three or four classes. The A class is 1 byte for network address and 3 bytes for computer address. Class B is 2 and 2, and class C is 3 bytes for network and 1 byte for computer. But still this dividing to classes is not very flexible. And then we very often use subnetting. So we configure the IP address not as simply IP address, but we add another parameter, network mask, that tells how many bits, how long prefix is used for network. So for the A class, it's 8, for the B class, it's 16, for the C class, it's 24. But we can move the border between network address and host address to any side for some number of bits. And this is called classless solution. So we don't use default classes, and we use just a number of bits as a prefix. And this classless approach in routing, this is the abbreviation classless interdomain routing. This was very important in a specific stage of IP development, because there were problems that we have so many networks and distributed on different places. The amount of data in the routing tables on the internet backbone was very quickly approaching their maximum capacity. And then this classless interdomain routing enabled aggregation of the network. So if we have two networks next to the other, and both in the numbers and both in the reality, in the connection, we can join the information from both networks and aggregate both of these networks to one record, not to have two records for each of them, but to have one common record for both or all networks that could be aggregated together. Fortunately, the subnetting is not so important as 15 years ago, because now we, in local networks, we very often use private addresses. And since we have a lot of private addresses, we don't need subnetting, because if we want a network for 10 computers, we can simply use a C-class private address with 254 addresses. When we are talking about 254, there is a question why in C-class network we have only 254 and not 256 addresses. And the reason is that the lowest and the highest address in each block are reserved. The first one, the address where whole computer part is filled by 0 bits, is simply address of the network. So network address is not assigned to any computer. And full ones, so this is the last address in the block, is so-called network broadcast. This broadcast means this packet should be delivered to all computers in this network. And since we have the network address, so this kind of packet can be delivered over internet to the target network and then redistributed there. There is another broadcast called limited broadcast. And the limited broadcast is used in situation when, not only in this situation, but typically in this situation, when a computer doesn't know details about a network and wants to communicate in this network. For instance, when a computer is connecting to a network with a DHCP, so it has to send the DHCP request, and this request has to be limited broadcast because the computer doesn't know anything about the network. So it cannot use network broadcast. It must use limited broadcast. Limited broadcast is an address with full ones. So 255, 255, 255, and 255. And the important thing why the name is limited broadcast is that this broadcast is not forwarded by routers. So it's used only for communication within an IP network. It's clear because otherwise all such packets will be distributed to all computers in the world. The reason for having these packets is communication within the local network. When we are talking about IP version 4, in IP version 6, there are no broadcasts. Yeah, we told that the difference is that they decided when designing the new version of the protocol that the broadcast addresses can be simply replaced by multicast addresses. Maybe I didn't mention when I was now talking about the addresses of version 4, there are also addresses of class D, which are so-called multicast addresses. In this type of address, there are 4 bytes for network and no byte for the computer. And the reason is that we use this address for distributing an information. So we don't, this is one-way communication. So we don't need to tell to which computer the information is sent. We send only to which network. So which kind of information is in and who is the potential recipient. And the recipient must declare setting the particular multicast address on his computer and his software. He must declare, okay, I want to receive also packets with this target address. So I'm willing to receive all data for this multicast address. And then the multicast data will be sent to this client. So this is the principle of multicast addresses. And in IP version 6, there are only multicast addresses. There is a special multicast, all hosts in local network. And this is in fact a replacement of the limited broadcast.